Going Linux, episode 172, Linux Applications, an Introduction. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom.
And I'm your chief executive minion, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you'll find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
In today's episode, Linux Applications.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Tom.
And Larry isn't actually here today. Again, we had scheduling conflicts. We couldn't all three of us get together at the same time, so when you hear Larry's voice in there, that's he's putting that in later. Thanks, Larry. And hope you can get back soon. So how you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good. What's been going on with you, Tom?
Oh, just about the same old stuff.
Same old stuff?
Yeah.
You played with anything new?
No, I really haven't. Are you still with PC Linux OS?
Well, I've been trying out some of the new Ubuntus that come out, and when I say new Ubuntus, plural, that's because I'm trying some of the other versions of it. I started off with the standard Ubuntu 12.04, and it's okay. I'm not really over thrilled with it. It seems to work. It's
improvement over the old Unity.
Yeah, but you have to like Unity, and I just can't. Yeah. So I just pretty much, I run it for a couple days just to give it a fair shake, and, you know, if you like Unity, it's great. Have a nice time, you know, yada, yada, yada. Basically, it's okay. I'm not impressed with Unity. I don't like Unity, so as soon as I could find a reason to try something else, I jumped.
Sure. And while you were running that, so, you and I got together on TeamViewer, and you showed me what it looked like, and I was underwhelmed.
It's just, it's better, but it's still not, it just doesn't work for me. And that's the great thing about Linux. You got plenty of different distros to try and desktops, and so you can find something that you like.
There you go.
So what I did is, Ubuntu Studio, I always like to give them a try because they use the XFCE and also they have all the multimedia stuff added, and that's what I'm recording on it right now. It's fast. I like it a lot better. I don't know if I like it as much as PC Linux OS. Yes, I'm sounding like a total fanboy, but man, I just it just works. So far, Ubuntu Studio, which is still based on 12.04, it's fast, a lot faster than Unity because it's not quite as graphics intensive. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know if I stay with it. But I got a small, not a small, but more of a sneaky suspicion that I'm going to be back with PC Linux OS. Or, of course, CrunchBang has got their beta out now. And so, you know, it might be time for me to check out one of my other favorite distros. So, plenty of things to play with. But right now, if you're looking for something to try, you can try the new Ubuntu. So I recommend Ubuntu Studio, and of course the one that, what is it, is Ubuntu the one that just XFCE only?
Yeah,
I hear they did a nice job. So give those two guys a whirl if you don't like Unity, and I'll just plug, if you're into betas and you want to help make something better, try the CrunchBang beta. It's out there now. It's based on the new Wheezy from Debian that's being developed. And if you just want something that works, PC Linux OS is still, I'd say, my number one choice.
And speaking of different distros, that kind of brings us to what we're going to talk about here today. People that are switching from W to Linux or thinking about switching, upgrading to Linux, you might think that you're going to be in a foreign country. And you will be, just a little bit. Not bad. And you're not going to have the Windows programs that you're used to. But you're going to have a program that does anything that the Windows programs did, pretty much. So, nothing to worry about.
Well, to that end, Larry, you gave me an assignment. So, I got to play with a lot of live CDs and DVDs to kind of see the similarities to some of these distros as far as applications. And so I thought maybe we'd just jump right in it and kind of give people a basic idea of what they'll run into when they use some of the different distributions. So why don't you take the first one, which is Ubuntu.
By the way, thank you for doing all that legwork, trying out. We found out that you can't just go online and easily find out which default applications a distribution runs. It sounds like it ought to be easy, and we went to DistroWatch and everything else, but it's kind of hard to figure out. So Bill went distribution by distribution and checked to see which default applications were installed. So that's a lot of help. So, okay, we'll start with Ubuntu. And the browser that comes in default with Ubuntu. And is this 12.04, Bill?
It's both 11.10 and 12.04.
Okay. Is Firefox. And before you ever install Linux, before you ever try Linux, you can try Firefox on whatever platform you're on. So Firefox has gotten pretty universal and easy to use, very simple, very easy. It looks a lot like Explorer, but it's a little niftier. Wouldn't you say, Bill?
Yeah, but I tell you, I like Firefox, but I tend to use Chrome a lot more, which you can also get, but that we'll save that for another discussion. But yeah,
sure.
Firefox is surprisingly, which will not surprise you, is almost the default browser in every one of these distributions. So if you use Firefox on the W, you should be able to fall right into using Firefox with no problems.
Sure.
When you're running Linux.
Sure. Looks the same, works the same. You're not gonna be chewing your fingernails and wondering what's going on. So you'll have a good web browser. And next, music player. Ubuntu comes with Banshee and Rhythmbox.
That's where it gets a little quirky. Depending on your distribution, if it's 11.04, 11.10, or 12.04, it can either have Banshee as the base, the default, or it can have Rhythmbox.
Mm-hmm.
They change it. So, but it does. But the other one's always available in the repositories or the store, as they like to call it.
Right.
In Ubuntu. So it doesn't matter if you like Banshee and Rhythmbox, you just go ahead and get Banshee. And if you like Rhythmbox over Banshee, you just get, you know, Rhythmbox. So it's not that hard. But they both basically do sort of like what, I hate to say the word, iTunes does. They play your music files and to keep them organized so you can see what you got on your hard drive. And
with Rhythmbox, you can also subscribe to podcasts, and Rhythmbox will download them as they come along. Does Banshee do that?
Sure.
Or don't we know?
Oh, sure,
it does.
It's
okay.
In there.
Okay.
Yeah. It does the same thing. I've used Banshee, and I've used Rhythmbox, and they both do the same thing. There might be different ways to go about getting to that functionality, but it's nothing that clicking a few menus you can't figure out. It's not that hard.
Right. And you said something about iTunes. Let's just full disclosure here. If you've got iTunes, you're going to have a heck of a time translating them into something else. They've got digital rights management. They got DRM, which is evil.
But there's a caveat to that.
Okay.
If you've bought some music from Apple or recently, it won't have DRM on it. They've stopped selling music with DRM. There's certain things that, that still have DRM, but I believe all music you can get now doesn't. Any music that you use the iTunes software to burn into doesn't have DRM.
Really?
It's just, nope, sure doesn't, because that's, you burned it from your own CDs. Well, what you, you, it puts it in a file, and I'll have to dig around and find it, but you can find your music and copy it to an external drive before you, you know, if you're replacing the W, and you can copy it all to an external drive and then put it back on after you've installed Linux. So depending on how long you've had the music, where you got the music, if it's still, if it has DRM or if it doesn't have DRM, you can probably about say 95 or 90% always get everything back. So,
well, that's an improvement.
Oh, yeah. DRM's evil.
It is. I don't know why Apple dropped it, because evil is their middle name. Amma evil.
No. Okay. What are the, one of the things we looked at was graphics, and I just had to, I'm going to take this one just to explain, because I put a little note beside it.
Okay, now we're we're talking graphics authoring, drawing pictures.
Yeah, graphics, yeah. You know, yeah. You know, like you want to change the color in a picture or clean it up or whatever.
Sure.
Well, everybody's heard of the GIMP. You can get it on Windows. You can get it on Mac. You can get it on, it's on all Linuxes, except recently Ubuntu doesn't ship with the GIMP. You can get it from the Software Center.
For free.
And for free. It doesn't cost any money. But it's not there by default in the past few releases of Ubuntu. I don't know why they did it. They might be space or whatever like that. Just so you know, if you fire up Ubuntu and you can't find the GIMP, you have to get it from the Software Center.
Okay. And let's specify that GIMP is kind of like Photoshop.
It is like Photoshop. The current GIMP... when you open it up, you have a bunch of panels
right.
That come up, and it might be a little scary when you first look at it. They're getting ready, either they've already done it, or they've getting ready to have one where it's all more of a Photoshop interface, so the next version should be even easier to use.
Sure.
So I know a lot of people are looking forward to that.
And right now, if you're experienced in Photoshop, you'll be able to find your way around GIMP, and if you want, there are all kinds of video tutorials online on how to use GIMP.
Yeah, GIMP's cool.
So what's up next? Video player.
Oh, yeah. Now, video players...
We're still talking about Ubuntu.
Still talking about Ubuntu. They use something called Totem, and it comes by another name. I guess Totem's the back end of it, but it'll say, like, mPlayer, and then you do a... help and get more information about it, and it'll say Totem. So I don't know that much about Totem, because to tell you the truth, one of the first things I do when I install Linux and get it set up is I never use Totem. I always put VLC, because VLC plays everything. So, and I've had problems with Totem, but you know, Totem's there, and depending on which one you're using, it either works perfectly or you have to get some codecs or whatever, but
nah.
You know, it's there.
A couple of years ago, I used to say those same things, and I used to really kind of talk badly about Totem, because it was a kind of a crippled player, but these days, I'm finding it just works, so I'm a lot happier with it. I use it for a lot of things.
I really don't use Totem. I've just found that VLC is, I always like to say VLC is for me, because it just works. But it's there, and it has improved. Like with everything in Linux, everything has improved dramatically since when I first started.
Sure.
I mean, I remember when it used to be, you'd have to spend a day just trying to get the thing installed. Now you can install it in less than 15 minutes, so, you know.
Yeah, my favorite player these days is, if I'm going to be watching a movie, SM player. Because I know that if I stop and turn the machine off and turn it back on and open that file, it'll restart in the same place. I really like that.
Oh, that's
And
cool.
if it was full
Okay.
screen or whatever the volume was when I turned it off, it's right back. All the settings are back again.
Huh. Well, that is kind of a neat
Yeah.
feature. Okay. Moving on. What do we got next?
Office. No.
Ah.
Yeah, this is for people who are running Windows, and I just said the word. This is like Word, right?
No, it's more like Microsoft Office because you
Okay,
get
yeah,
everything.
that's right. It's been so long since I ran that other system, I can't remember.
LibreOffice is the default in Ubuntu, and I actually used Libre's spreadsheet program to build the spreadsheet that we're using right
Right.
now, and it works really well. You can write your letters, you can do your spreadsheets, you can do your presentations. It basically does everything Microsoft Office does. It'll even save it to some of the formats that Microsoft can read. So if you're trying to exchange some files, it can talk. It can save to, I think they use the doc format, and if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, because I really don't use Microsoft Office very much. I'm either using LibreOffice or, believe it or not, I sometimes just, if I need to type up a quick little letter, I use Google Docs.
Oh, sure.
So it just depends on what I'm doing. But when I use LibreOffice, I just save it, and so far I haven't had anybody have any problems. I mean, if I know there's Microsoft, they're using Microsoft, I do try to save it to a doc format. Otherwise, I just let it pick its, I think it's ODT, which is the open document format or something. So, I haven't had any problems. I mean, I'm sure if you had a lot of, they say if you have like the Excel, the spreadsheets, that a lot of the macros or micros or whatever they use to do all the fancy stuff, don't tr doesn't translate to it. I don't do any of that, so I can't speak to it. All I know is that when I need to write a letter or use or make, or create a spreadsheet or do a quick little presentation, LibreOffice has worked perfectly.
Sure, and it, when you go to save whatever it is you've put together, well, if it's a document, you click Save As, and then you select the format, and the list of possible formats is astonishing. I think it goes all the way back to, and this is back in history for those of you that have been computing for a while. I think it'll even do Word Perfect. Yeah, I
Really?
don't even. Yeah.
Does anybody still
I
use
don't
it? Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that in a while. And you know what? I actually used Word
So did
Perfect
I.
way back when. Wow. I hadn't heard that in a
I think I
while.
bought it on a floppy disk.
I actually think that was what they were using in my typing class. Ooh. That's really dating me. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
We got the picture
Yeah, just
viewers.
a simple picture viewer. Somebody sends you a picture, you download it, you click on it, and something is going to open up and show you the picture. And what's the picture viewer in W? Dee dee
I don't
dee
think.
dee dee dee.
I don't know. Because I, again, don't use the
Sure.
W anymore. But at work, let me think. They wish we do use the W. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I don't. I'm sure they have one, but when I run, I will say it, when I run Windows, I believe I actually bought a program that was called Image something. It was a little program that would could view images. But let me just stop there. You can't compare it.
Oh, right.
Linux has this
Oh,
nailed.
absolutely.
And let me tell, no, you don't understand. You can't compare just a single image viewer to what Linux offers for these picture viewers. It does that plus so much more. Ubuntu uses Shotwell.
Okay.
And Shotwell will view a single image, but it will also view whole collections of pictures.
Right.
It will let you rotate the pictures. It will let you make collections. It will import the pictures from your cell phone, from your camera, from a hard drive, from a flash drive. It is phenomenal. It is, I would say it's a image viewer plus an organizer on steroids, and who's going to come and eat your bacon. That's how good it is. So, yeah, you really can't compare to just a single little program to view images. I mean, I actually believe that all Linuxes have an image viewer on top of Shotwell or Digicam or whatever. But Shotwell is phenomenal, and I've had it go through my collection of about 2 or 3 gigs of pictures, and it just works great. It rotates them, so
sure,
when I look at them, it's just great. So Shotwell is so intuitive. You don't even need to tell people how to use it. You open it up, and you can say, "Oh, I know what that does,"
right,
and it just works. Okay, so that's basically the browser, the music player, the graphics, application that you can use to change around pictures, the video player, the office suite, and the picture viewer.
So,
Ubuntu.
So when you get to Ubuntu, things are going to be a little bit different. There's going to be different names from what you're used to, but you won't be lost. So just relax, take a deep breath, look around, and be happy.
Yeah, because you are really going to like Shotwell. Okay, so what I did after going and doing Ubuntu, I just said, well, let's see what the others use, just for fun. So I, of course, had PC Linux OS, and of course, it uses Firefox.
Okay.
And it uses my new favorite music player called Clementine.
I've tried that. It's a good one.
I like Clementine. It reminds me a lot of just a real light Amarok almost.
Okay.
But Amarok is a KDE, a big KDE music player, and it does a lot of stuff. But for me, I think Clementine is just this great, lightweight, fast, and it really works well. And you can get Clementine on almost any KDE system. Just so a side note, PC Linux OS is a KDE system. Ubuntu we talked about used Unity. But here's something really cool, Tom. If you like Clementine, you can use it on Unity.
Okay.
So you're not, if you're moving from, say, one Linux to another Linux and say, I really, really want Clementine, but it's not installed as default on whatever you're going to, hey, go to the repositories. It's there.
And that goes for pretty much everything we're talking about. We're just talking about the default programs right now.
Yeah, the default programs. Okay, so PC Linux OS had Firefox, Clementine, the GIMP is installed, and it used, for their default video player, VLC, which didn't get no argument from me.
Excellent player.
Excellent. If VLC can't play it, it's broke.
Yeah.
LibreOffice, but
no,
since
wait,
it's KDE...
Let's back up a little bit.
Yeah.
VLC, I have never had VLC tell me that there was a missing codec or anything. It just plays it right out of the box.
Yeah, even the weird stuff.
Yeah. So LibreOffice again.
Yeah, LibreOffice. And since it's KDE, they chose Digicam.
For the picture view.
For the pictures. But I didn't use a lot of Digicam. I actually loaded up Shotwell on PC Linux OS just because I happen to like it better. I don't know too much about it, except I did fire it up and look at it. It's pretty self-explanatory. Again, not hard to understand. It does everything Shotwell does and has some other little features that you can play with. But as a general rule, it views pictures, it organizes photo albums, nothing, you know, no sweat. So you get there, you're going to feel right at home in a matter of hours. So, you know, sit back, relax, enjoy the ride.
Yeah. So next up we got Mint.
Oh, yeah, we had to do Mint because of Larry.
Okay. Well, Mint is a good distribution.
Yeah, but if we didn't do Mint, Larry would come and shoot me. So, in all seriousness, I looked at Mint 12. And, of course, guess what it used? Firefox. And it used Banshee as its music player. The GIMP was installed. But you know what Mint did? Mint all had VLC and Totem both installed. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of neat, and I thought that was a pretty good way to go. Because if you know, you pretty much have anything covered with those two. Then they had LibreOffice, and you know, it's the same LibreOffice that we've talked before. It does everything that you need to do about write letters, spreadsheets. So they also, I didn't know which one was default. So this one is kind of a dual pick also. They had an image viewer.
For picture viewer?
And,
for picture viewer?
Yeah, it was a picture viewer. But it's called image viewer.
Uh-huh.
And they had Shotwell.
Oh.
Yeah. So they had both.
Okay. Let's just specify this too. Let's say you click on a file, any kind of a file, and it opens with something that, yeah, you didn't want that one. You wanted something else that you've got installed. All right, well, close it and then right-click on it, and you'll have a menu drop-down, and it will say Open Using, and then you can pick what you want it to use to open it. And you can click a little box that says, use this from now on. So
yeah,
whenever you
default.
Click on that from then on. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Mint, I will say, is an excellent distribution. And they gave a lot of thought to the programs that they included. And so everything they included was really solid. You know, no surprises there. Tom, moving on, we can't do a review without looking at OpenSUSE. Or is it OpenSUSE? Is it OpenSUSE or OpenSUSE?
I hear it both ways, and no matter which way we say it, somebody's going to get ticked off and yell at us. So you say SUSE, I'll say SUSE.
How about I call it the Green Lizard one? Because their mascot's the Green Lizard. Okay. OpenSUSE uses Firefox. No surprise there. Banshee.
Okay, for the browser. Banshee for music player.
GIMP for the graphics.
Graphics editor.
Totem for the video player.
Mm-hmm.
LibreOffice for the office. And Shotwell. Are we seeing a trend
with
Shotwell?
Again. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And next up is Fedora.
Oh, yeah. Now, Fedora is interesting. Fedora uses Firefox and then Rhythmbox
for the music player
and then GIMP for the graphics. The video player is Totem, which is fine. But you see where I have a little attention? LibreOffice? Fedora doesn't come with any office. You have to download it.
Really?
Yeah, the live CD I had.
It's not going to cost you anything.
Well, I know.
Maybe
it doesn't cost
room
you
on
anything.
The CD.
Well, yeah, but they installed GIMP. So you figure, which one are you going to use more? GIMP or the office.
Sure.
Because
I suppose if
think
you're
about,
an artist.
Yeah, okay. I don't know about you, but I have a USB key that I carry with me that has a PC Linux OS or another Linux on it that sometimes I need to boot in, write a letter, and print it off. So if you can't do that with Fedora, you can't make it to USB without installing, because there's no office. There's not even, there is a text editor. I guess you could type a letter with that. But I just thought that was a weird choice of not having an office suite installed. It was interesting. I don't understand why they didn't. And maybe it's because Fedora is kind of bleeding edge. And they want to make sure that you get the latest LibreOffice. I don't know what the mentality is. So you can get it. It's, you know, it's in the repositories. It's not going like it's going to take you very long to get it if you have broadband. So just a side note, if you're going to use a live CD or a DVD, Fedora might not be the best choice if you're going to be writing letters.
Yeah, but it's not that much of a hassle to download it from the repositories, right?
That's true. No, it's simple. You just got to go to repositories, but it kind of limits the use of what a live DVD or CD would be to you. But, you know,
true.
To each his own.
True, I see that. Yeah. And then for the picture viewer?
What do you think?
Digicam.
No, Shotwell.
Shotwell, okay.
Shotwell again.
Good choice.
So, yep, Shotwell seems to be like the default on a lot of stuff. And it's just because it really is spectacular. The next one we have is Debian. And anybody that has been in Linux anytime knows Debian is the granddaddy to Ubuntu, who is the, you know, I'd say father to Mint. So everything started with Debian, and
well, one branch of the tree, yeah.
Yeah, one branch of the tree. Debian's been around. Debian is where Ubuntu has come from, which Mint's come from. So it's kind of like the patriarch of all the Debian distros out right now.
Sure.
But I got a fun. What browser do you think they use?
It says here Ice Weasel.
Do you know what Ice Weasel is?
Yes, I do.
What is Ice Weasel?
Firefox does use some proprietary stuff. And there was one fork of the Firefox project. They wanted to do a fork with all open source, non-proprietary, completely clean software. Mm-hmm. And the people that were proposing that were made fun of by the community. They said, that's not really a Firefox. That's an Ice Weasel. Well, one person said that, and the people making the fork embraced it. They said, okay, that's what we're going to call it, Ice Weasel.
Ice Weasel. Okay. Yeah, basically, it's an unbranded Firefox. So.
Right, completely FOSS, free open source software.
Okay, then you've got Rhythmbox for its music player. No surprise there. Rhythmbox is a solid music player. So then they also, for their graphics, they use GIMP.
Right.
For their video player, Totem. But here's the interesting one. They still use OpenOffice. And the reason that Debian still uses OpenOffice is Debian does not release as fast as Ubuntu or Mint. Their philosophy is stability, stability, stability. So if you take a Debian CD, it's going to have older versions of that software.
Sure.
And in this case, OpenOffice, but it is going to be dead stable. Debian is one of my favorite distributions, just plain old Debian. And when it might not be as flashy or release as often, But Debian, if you want something that will run and and run and run,
sure,
Debian is the way to go.
Dead solid.
Yeah, dead solid. You're never going to have any problems with Debian. I love Debian. I actually have a machine right now running Debian that I used to store some files on. And it's been, I think its up time is like 6 months. I haven't touched it.
Huh.
So, yeah. Anyway, OpenOffice is 100% compatible with LibreOffice. Actually, if you really want to get into it, LibreOffice come from OpenOffice. Basically, it's a fork of OpenOffice,
right.
I believe I understood. They basically said, hey, we want to do all these improvements to OpenOffice. And I think at the time, Oracle was deciding what they wanted to do with it. And they said, so they took all, since it's open, free and open software, they took it and renamed it. And all of a sudden, they had all these improvements to LibreOffice. So basically, OpenOffice is just the earlier version of LibreOffice. That's how you can kind of think of it. When Debian comes out, I know for a fact they're going to be using LibreOffice. That's just, you know, they don't release it until it's ready. And I have to give the Debian people kudos because they do a heck of a job, because it makes everything else that we use, Ubuntu, Mint, they make it that much better. And believe it or not, I'm going to give you one guess on what they use for picture viewing.
Just no idea at all, Bill.
Shotwell, believe it or not.
Oh, there we go.
So if, yeah, Shotwell, it, now it's probably an early, I know it's an earlier version of Shotwell, but in all actuality, Shotwell seems to have just creamed the competition there, because it's just, everybody likes Shotwell. There is one that is not listed that I'm just going to add in just as a bonus. And just because I like saying its name, it's Sabion, or as you call it, what do you call it? Sabio? Or
yeah,
whatever
Sabio.
It's called. Yes. So if it's Sabion or Sabio, don't yell at us. We're doing our best.
It's
but,
some kind of French dessert or something.
It's yummy French dessert. I've had it. But I don't think of it when I run Sabion or Sebio or whatever. Anyway,
whatever.
Their default browser is Chromium.
Oh, that's mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Their default browser is Chromium. Their music player, I believe, is Banshee. Their graphics is the GIMP. Their video player, and I could be wrong, I'm almost 100% sure it's VLC, and the last picture viewer of, no, I don't even have to guess, I know it's Shotwell. So, that gives us, you know, Ubuntu, PC Linux OS, Mint, OpenSUSE, Fedora, Debian, or Sabion. So, is there anything, any other distributions or big distributions that you want to cover?
No, but just let me say one more time to our listeners. You're hearing all kinds of weird names of distributions and applications. Don't worry about it. Look around. We know it sounds weird, but when you first sat down at your first computer, you didn't know what Internet Explorer was either, so... Or maybe you were using WordPerfect. So you'll get used to it in a hurry. Don't worry about it.
Actually, you'll get used to it so quick that you'll wonder, you know, you won't even remember what Windows look like.
I know.
I actually, you know, a funny quick story is I had to go do some work at a job. And I sat down, it was a Windows machine, and I had to actually sit there and think about it for a while. I'm like, where is the GIMP? I can't find the GIMP. And, and I said, you know, I know Firefox is around on this W machine somewhere. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, this is the W Windows. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I actually had to sit there and think about it. And I was like, I'm sitting there going, man, I can how comfortable I had grown using Linux, and you know, we really are spoiled because in Linux, like Tom said, a lot of software is installed and it's just there ready for you to use.
And if you don't like it,
you can change it.
Yeah.
And you might be, you know, if you're right from Windows, you might be going, you know, you might not be used to having everything already there. Because I remember when I bought my first Windows machine, I'm sorry, I'm saying Windows a lot, Tom, but it didn't have anything. It had some crapware and some trialware, but it didn't really have any, didn't have an Office program.
Right.
It didn't have a writer. It didn't have image manipulation software. It didn't have a music player. It had a browser, Internet Explorer, but it didn't have in the very first ones, it didn't even have something that would play the DVD. It was actually another program. I think it was like Power DVD or something that they actually put on it to make it play. So it's just when people coming from the W, they might be thinking, oh, this is going to be so hard. But when they get there, it's like everything's here. You know, the browser here, and it's great.
If you're running the W and there's something you want, you might go look at download.com or twocows.com. And you see something great and you grab it, but now you got to grit your teeth because you don't know what's riding along with it.
That's true.
With Linux, you're going to the repositories and grabbing what you need, and you can trust it.
Yeah, because it's been vetted for security and stuff. So,
right.
You know, it's amazing the amount of software that's already installed when you get it. You actually have an operating system that can actually do something. It can browse, it can play music, it can view videos, it can, you know, manage your photos, it can, you know, it can just do everything. And a lot of people find, or just when they sit there and I can't believe I get all this for free.
Right.
So I just, that one, the idea behind this episode was to let people know that things are not that different. And no matter what you choose, whether if you choose Ubuntu, you choose PC Linux OS, you choose Debian, you choose OpenSUSE, you choose Mint, or whatever, they're all very, very similar, and there might be small changes, the interfaces might look a little different, but when it really comes down to it, you're really going to have the same programs or something very similar doing the same job on every one of these.
And you can use it to get things done.
That's right.
Well, should we wrap it up, Bill?
I think we should.
In our next episode, listener feedback.
Until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations. Email us with comments, questions, and suggestions.
And remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover on the show, use our forums to leave your topic suggestion in a thread labeled Topic Suggestions at forums.goinglinux.com.
You can also send us an audio comment by email. We'll play it on the show.
And that email address is goinglinux@gmail.com. Our voicemail is +1 904 468 7889.
Follow our show updates on Twitter and Adelica. We're Going Linux.
You can download the episodes from the website, or you can use the HTML5 or the Flash Player to play them right on the show notes page. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
73s.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.